I have noticed a very disturbing trend in the body of Christ within the last week. It has come to my attention. Many of you know about the... go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Many of you have heard the terms tolerance and acceptance. Those have been very popular words for quite some time now. And I'm at the point to where a figure of speech, I'm almost nauseated when I hear tolerance. The word tolerance today is defined as a willingness to accept anything that goes against the Word of God. And intolerance, in this word of tolerance and acceptance, what's happening is this, and I just caught on to it within the last 7 days. People who are absolutely born again, I mean, as far as I know, and even Spirit-filled, slowly, over time, they have begun receiving information outside the church. Here's how it's candy-coated. Let me just give you an example. We need to learn to accept people how they are without being critical. We need to demonstrate a willingness to tolerate the differences in people. Now, on the surface, that sounds okay. And it really is okay if I accept the differences in you. The problem is the reality over which those terms and phrases blanket. Because those terms and phrases are generally about, well, today, sexual preferences and lifestyles of sin. And what's happened is this. No, what is happening is this. Christians are looking at these concepts of you need to learn to tolerate the differences in people. You need to learn to accept the differences in people. Well, when I was growing up, that meant you didn't discriminate against a person because of their skin color. You know what I'm saying? Well, it doesn't mean that now. I mean, they lump that in. You know, we have people of all different backgrounds, people of all different cultures, people of all different races. And then, subtly, people of all different lifestyles. That gets thrown in too. And I'm noticing that Christians are receiving teaching. It's not teaching, but that's indoctrination. That's the word. They are receiving indoctrination outside the church about we are the world. We are the people. And they're supposed to accept the differences in everybody. Appreciate what everyone has to offer. And what's happening now, the acceptance of abominable lifestyles. Christians, they'll tell you it's sin. They'll tell you Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll tell you you must be born again. However, they'll say, but we need to be willing to accept other people. And in the process, what they don't realize is that they are actually promoting lifestyles that God does not approve. But they don't see this. It's subtle. It's very, very subtle. It's so cotton candy soft. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, It says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now he's telling you right there, these people aren't going to heaven. He's telling you that. And in verse 9, nearly all of those terms in verse 9 are talking about sexual behaviors. Now what he's saying here is, do you not understand? I've taught on this before, so this is a short and sweet. He's saying, do you not understand? People who choose to live this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. You're not. You're going to the lake of fire forever. You don't inherit the kingdom. We read this and we think, yes, all those sinners in the world, they should know better. That's right. And we already know where they're going, the people who are lost. So why remind me of this? In part because of what was happening in Corinth. Corinth was one of the most pagan, immoral cities in all of history. And at that particular time in history, it might have been the number one city of immorality in the world. There were others, okay? But there were people who went to Corinth just so they could have immorality. The main temple. Well, they had several temples to where, you know, they didn't have television. They didn't have computers. So in other words, today you can watch pornography that's been recorded. They went and watched it live. And they had the opportunity to participate. But it was, now listen, it was all done under the guise of religion. The Temple of Diana. It was all done under the guise of religion. And what was happening in Corinth was this. And Paul, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians with this in mind, you're going to understand more about some of these passages and why he wrote the way he did. You know, the part where he talks about, don't you understand that when you join yourself to a harlot, why would he write that? Because they had, historically, it's documented, they'd go to the temple and whoop it up and then come over here for the church service. And Paul was saying, you don't get it, do you? You can't live this way. That's one of the reasons why he's identifying that. Because it wasn't just male and female. It was male and male, female and female. It was. Okay? It was filth. It was all that stuff that goes on. And he's saying, you can't live like this and think you're going to make it to heaven. Because that's what they thought. He's saying, you have to stop this. And you have to stop it now. It's going to send you to hell. Well, these people were living under the belief that they should tolerate folks that live that way. And the reason they believed it was because of the culture of their society. And so, see, this is one of the reasons why God wanted Paul's instruction about praying in tongues recorded in 1 Corinthians. Because it talks about praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself spiritually, and the gifts of the Spirit. All these things that are recorded in there. It's because he's trying to show these people, you better get your acts together, and you better get into doing this, and you better move along in God, and grow and mature spiritually. And grow beyond the cultural influence of your society, the way it has impacted your thinking. We'll see the same things going on today. And I'm highly concerned. I saw something the other day. I won't go into it. But it was where a Christian had taken information from a pro-homosexual website and posted it on their Facebook account. And the thing is, the posting itself looked innocent. But the message it was sending, I'm guessing a lot of people would look at it and they wouldn't even think. What it was a picture of a young child, a young girl, dressed up like a pirate with a beard and everything. In other words, and I forget the exact wording, but the message was this: parents, encourage your children to be who they are. Well, what was the child? A girl as a man. Now, what do you think the message is? That's how subtle this stuff is, and it's happening now. It's going on right now. And guys, the reason I'm sharing this is that if you don't guard your hearts, you're going to be pulled in. You say, well, no, not me. Well, I hope you're right. But the reason I say you're going to be pulled in is because I know the person who posted this, and I never thought they would do that. But apparently, they've been blinded to the point to where they could not see what it was. It looked so innocent. But it was a way to promote acceptance of sin. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Paul's writing to Timothy. "You know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea," now look at this, "and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, Timothy," and anybody else who reads this, "continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now in verse 13, where he says, "evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived," you read that and you think, oh, the world, the world, the world. He's writing this about what's going to happen, not just in the world, but in the church. And he's saying, why tell me to continue in the things that I've heard if there's not somebody coming my way to try and seduce me and deceive me? Now, why would they be seducing and deceiving me? Because they've been deceived. And so now they begin teaching me I need to be tolerant, I need to accept. And if you don't, well, don't you understand? That's not the way God is. No, wait a minute. God is intolerant. God is the most intolerant person you're ever going to meet. You say, but I thought he loved everybody. How did you hear he doesn't love you in what I just said? How did you hear that? Why did you turn my words around? Now, I'm not saying any of you did, but that's what happens. God's the most intolerant person that you're ever going to meet. You know why? He said, I'm holy, be holy. That's not very tolerant of anything else. He says, mortify the flesh and the deeds thereof, and you'll live. That's not tolerant. But it is love. You see, if you love somebody, you will be intolerant of sin. But it doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means you're not tolerant. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation nearer than when we believe." In other words, he's talking about the return of Jesus. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's not very tolerant. He says, don't do it. Just don't do it. You live, put on Jesus. He's the standard. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Put on Jesus. Get rid of the junk. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, for I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come ye out from among them. I mean, now that's coming out of the closet. Because so many Christians are hiding their Christianity in the closet. He says, come out from among them. In other words, you make it known who you are. I'm not saying you run around and say, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. No, 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 no. You just live as Jesus. Look, you know what? Jesus didn't have to do a whole lot to get persecuted. He just had to show up. Remember that? He's in the middle of a church service one time preaching, and a demon man stands up and says, well, we know who you are. We know. Right in the middle of the sermon. Jesus says, come out of him and don't come back. And the people were astonished. Coming out from among them means you draw the same line as God. And you say, I'm sorry. If you want to live on the other side of the line, that's up to you. But here's the standard that God has established. And the churches that have, just within 25 years, churches that have, you know, really been, you know, Jesus, and you got to be holy, and you got to be, you know, live for the Lord, the compromise is creeping in, guys. It's creeping in. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll finish here with this passage. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The stuff that, from verses 1 through 6. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Remember we read a few moments ago, we're supposed to put on the armor of light? When you're walking in the armor of light, the purity of God's holiness coming through you is going to cause you trouble. Because there are going to be Christians, lost people are one thing, but there are going to be Christians who are going to get irritated around you. They're just going to sense something. And what is it? It's the holiness of God coming through you. You don't have to preach at them. Just the holiness of God coming through you, and they're sensing the presence of His holiness, and it is convicting them. Now look, the question is, are we as tolerant as God? You see, when we look out at the world and we see what's happening, and then we look at the church and see how it's creeping in, and then we don't see God sending lightning bolts down and leaving little piles of ashes where people were standing, we think, well, it must not be that bad. That is exactly why the body of Christ has begun to compromise, because they're not seeing instantaneous judgment. You know what they're seeing? They're not seeing God and His toleration of sin. They're seeing His grace and mercy rejoicing against judgment. And the grace and the mercy is giving them another breath and another breath and another breath and another day and another day and another to repent. He's doing everything He can to reveal Himself, because He doesn't want them going to hell. And He doesn't want the Christians to backslide to the point where that's where they end up. He wants them in his family. And he wants them permanently in his family. It isn't tolerance. When you're as tolerant as God, you are intolerant of sin. But you are also an extender of the love and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God to lead sinners to Jesus and backsliders back in, and compromisers to truth. See, you don't have to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to know the ins and outs of all the Scripture and be able to break down the Greek and the Hebrew and all. You don't have to be any of that to live a holy lifestyle before God. A holy lifestyle before God helps you learn things better. And this message tonight, short, but it's an encouragement to you. And a warning. This stuff's happening. The deceivers are increasing in the church. Evil people are now in the church, waxing worse, deceiving and being deceived. Guard your hearts. We can love the people, hate the sin, be tolerant of the individual, but not their behavior. You see what I'm getting at? So guys, listen. I want to encourage you, please, get in with God. Let the holiness of His character and nature in you begin to rise up and dominate every aspect of your life. Me too. And walk and put on the Lord Jesus Christ.